go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of hour number one here on this Hump Day Wednesday, February 4th, 2026 edition. Kind of interesting what's happening in this race, how things are happening with unions. Basically, the unions have all but automatically coronated our Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist as being the next Secretary of State on the Democrat ticket, heading into the April 19th Democratic Endorsement Convention, along with the Teachers Union, as well as the UAW, the Michigan American Federation of Labor, and Congress of Industrial Organizations. Who the heck is that? The AFL-CIO. Never knew the full acronym for them. American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations. Well, they too got on the Team Gilchrist bandwagon, as well as Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald, who's all but locked up the Attorney General endorsement for the party, as well as, again, Garland Gilchrist for Secretary of State. At least one Secretary of State candidate said she is not holding up her tent, as former candidate Adam Hollier did yesterday. Former State Lottery Commissioner Susanna Shirekley, yes, was asked if she was going to be dropping out, and share her answer very quickly to the point, oh my gosh, absolutely not, adding that all her grassroots supporters are excited about what I have to offer and there's so much energy out there. Well, here's the bottom line. The former lottery commissioner claims she has outraced all the other candidates, including putting $300,000 into her coffers in just the last 2 weeks. With Hollier dropping out and her having $302,272 cash on hand, she said that's more than any other candidate, either Republican or Democrat, that are running for Secretary of State. She said even Gilchrist only has $262,764, and that money is coming from his gubernatorial account. The last other remaining lady standing on the Democrat side, Ingham County Clerk Barb Byram, and she has $168,550 cash on hand. Secondly, with regards to what entities get to pick the nominee at the state convention April 19th, Trick Rally told TV 6 News in a Zoom meeting exchange, the delegates attending want to decide who is going to be the nominee. They're not necessarily listening to the union endorsements. Well, reminded that political popular wisdom in some corners suggests that snagging the big three, union endorsements already, UAW, the teachers union, and as well as the AFL-CIO, is not only a game changer, it's typically game over for other candidates. But Schiaccarelli isn't buying it for the moment. Asked if the old days of union bosses dictating who gets to be on the statewide ticket are over, she did not pause. Yes, I think so. We saw that with Dana Nessel, noting that Nessel won the attorney general nomination when the UAW had actually endorsed her opponent, Pat Miles, back in the 2018 cycle. Endorsements are nice, but I'm hearing from the delegates all across the state, and I'm building that coalition day by day. Also, an indirect comment aimed at the man who gets those endorsements, she notes, we know this race is too important to be a consolation prize for anybody. There's way too much at stake, and people are scared. Of course, referring to the lieutenant governor who is running for governor and now secretary of state, she's referring to it as a consolation prize. Schiaccarelli was asked if President Trump could try to take over the Michigan election process. What? Why would you even ask that question? President can't take over our election process. What a loaded question. Well, this is her response. I wouldn't put anything past Trump. She said as she told a citizen she would use her experience as a local prosecutor to protect the vote in this state, and she promised tabletop exercises with clerks around the state so that we'd be ready for whatever's coming from Washington. Again, she reiterated, I'm staying in. And also for her part, Barb Byram has also said she's not exiting the race early either. So it looks like the Democrats are going to go to their convention April 19th, and we'll see who wins. Right now, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I'd put my money on the lieutenant governor. These union endorsements, absolutely overwhelming, usually at these type of conventions. Now, shifting gears, only 8 days into his candidacy, quality professional Perry Johnson has already committed spending $828,437 for his gubernatorial campaign, according to numbers released by Ad Impact. Independent candidate Mike Duggan has already spent $829,148. And coming in third place is Republican Tom Leonard. He spent so far $359,410. These three are the only candidates listed with six figures into TV and internet spending at the moment. Currently, Perry Johnson has two ads in circulation. The TV ad, the first one, is his introductory ad talking about his background in approving the operations of the automakers in Detroit. The second ad focuses on his pledge to eliminate the income tax if elected, putting $4,747 back into people's pockets. Now, one other thing that is kind of interesting, another union getting an endorsement into the race, the Construction Association of Michigan. CAM actually endorsed the independent Duggan for governor. Their president, Kevin Kohler, said deciding to back Mike was a simple decision. is someone who will work to improve the business climate for our members at a time when inflation, material costs, and labor costs are on shaky ground. Our members like the consistency, and so does Mike Duggan. Kind of a weak endorsement statement, but it is what it is. So kind of interesting as these endorsements are lining up, both for Attorney General, Secretary of State, and even Governor. Now, one of the things that very, very interesting as we are talking about these cases going to the Supreme Court by Ian Murphy, one of our longtime sponsors over at the Iron Pig Smokehouses in Gaylord. Well, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services says it's ready to exit court oversight of its child welfare system. But the judge involved says not quite just yet. U.S. District Judge Nancy Edmonds acknowledged that the state has spent 20 years under court supervision and that it may be time to move on. However, she said, we're not going to move on unless everyone is satisfied that child safety issues have been properly addressed. And Edmonds says Michigan is not there yet. However, the judge, who retires at the end of March, quoted a recent study that found Michigan remains way above the national average of children who have been abused or neglected while in foster care. Judge says it's time for both sides to sit down and determine what areas need to be focused on, and for the state to say how they will improve in these areas. If the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services wants to leave court supervision, I think that that's a right path to take. Also adding, I have admiration for what you've done so far. I just think there's a little bit further you can go, and I'm willing to do what I can to make it happen. District Judge Susan DeClercq will take over the case when Edmonds retires in March. Both sides met yesterday in a virtual status conference with court-ordered monitors who provided the 23rd report of the state's compliance with a settlement agreement designed to improve Michigan's child welfare system. Well, the judge doesn't want to end the court supervision just yet. Final segment of hour number one, other stories from Lansing and Washington today. We'll be right back.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I've defeated the current Attorney General by actually representing the 2020 Trump alternate electors. It's time to end the lawfare here in our great state, and no more ever using the law as a weapon against patriots. Delegates, back me at the March Endorsement Convention to reclaim justice and to make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of hour number one. Looking at some other stories from Lansing, we got a short one here that we can get to real quick. Citizens voting ballot question mistakenly reports $1.12 million in the hole. Say what? A U.S. citizen voting proposal reported to the Bureau of Elections late Monday night that while it raised nearly $1.145 million in the last few months of 2025, it ended the period $1.12 million in the hole. Americans for Citizens Voting Michigan is investigating what it believes to be a reporting glitch. Spokesperson for the Americans for Citizen Voting, the chair, Paul Jacobs, said, I can assure you, banks don't let you spend $1.12 million more than you have. Okay. Organizers are hoping to get on the statewide November 2026 ballot with a constitutional voting initiative that would require voters to provide a valid ID before getting a ballot. The group reported raising more than $4.92 million last year, but spending $6.03 million, leaving the biggest unclaimed hole that the former Bureau of Elections Executive Director Chris Thomas said he's ever heard about. Thomas, making a statement to MERS News, reporters said, it's a report that's way out of line with what the law requires. The law, principally a disclosure law, and knowing where contributions come from and where expenditures are being made is the point of the Campaign Finance Act. But during his tenure with the Bureau of Elections, he said he's seen negative on-hand cash numbers, but they were normally very small numbers similar to along the lines of $500 or maybe $1,000, usually ending up in being accounting errors. But this may just be some huge oversight. It could be due to poor record keeping, but clearly it is a failure to disclose. And at this time, I would assume that the Bureau of Elections and the Secretary of State's office will be reviewing these reports very closely. I suspect they'll end up having some questions and then figuring it out. He said the issues are typically reconciled between the Secretary of State and the party before any actions take place. Actions are usually relegated to fines depending on the size of the disclosure error. $1.12 million gap. He said this is some type of error. Whether it was with the Department of State's reporting system or perhaps the individual who filed the report, but he's not sure. Mistakes do happen, but I can tell you I've never seen $1.12 million in the red. Spokesperson for the organization said, "We've always had a positive balance. We raised additional money since the end of the year, and I believe that we will get enough signatures to put this on the ballot in November." Well, a spokesperson with the Secretary of State's office said that they were also aware of the discrepancy and where perhaps some of the errors were made in the filing. They need to be corrected and/or amended. But I got a very simple question. All of you listening, I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, a drive-by listener, I don't care. Don't we already have to show our valid ID before getting a ballot? I've always had to show my driver's license before you even get a ballot. You have to sign what's called an application for a ballot. That's that little piece of paper, usually with pencils. When you first walk in, you fill it out, you sign it so that they can compare your signature on the application for the ballot with your driver's license. Then they check those signatures with the signature on file in the qualified polling book. When you registered to vote, you signed an application to register to vote. Well, that's been stored electronically in the poll book. If all three signatures match up, they give you your ballot. I do not understand this ballot proposal. Now, statewide, requiring that voters provide a valid ID before getting a ballot. Now, is that maybe part of the absentee ballots? Is that what this is about? Because I signed up for absentee ballots just so I would know, have to get to know when we're voting. Those small little millages that we have. Well, I want to know when one of those is coming up. I don't remember showing my driver's license to be put on that list. I'll reach out to this chair, Paul Jacob, and see if we can get an answer. Hour number two,
thank
we'll
you
be right
for
back.
Listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hi, my name is Monica Yatuma. I've spent my career in the private sector, fixing broken systems and delivering real results. When there was waste, I cut it. When there was failure, I demanded accountability. And when problems got tough, I didn't back down. Now I'm running for Secretary of State to bring integrity, efficiency, and common sense back to Michigan government and to protect the trust in our elections that voters deserve. I'm experiencing